Don't you want Keith? Some become. Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 226. My name is Peter Willington. I'm the handheld editor of PocketGamer.co.uk, and I am joined by, who should we go with? Let's go with Keith Andrew.
Hello, you gave that 226 more of a big up than 225, which I thought was meant to be something special.
Okay, yeah, that's true. But 226, why is that a special number then? 226 is the number of atoms in a molecule of fun. This is going nowhere. I'm also going to introduce to you a very special guest, super special guest, giving this podcast an American tang, a barbecue flavour, because we are joined live in the studio by Mr. Matt Diener.
Well, howdy. It's glad to be here.
That is, listeners, that is his actual voice, and he will be keeping it up for the entire show.
I thought I'd switch around dialects. I'll do Boston next, and then okay. maybe some Midwestern, don't you know?
Okay, that's now here's the thing. All I know about Boston is that it is the home of the Dropkick Murphys.
That's correct.
Have you been? So are you in Boston at the moment? I don't know how big America is. It's quite big, isn't it?
It is quite big. Okay. I'm in the wilds of New Jersey. I'm just outside of New York City.
Okay, is that near Boston?
It's about 5 hours away. Yeah.
About five hours away. Okay, so quite near. It's about the same sort of length as from let's say Bristol to Derbyshire.
How slow are you driving?
I'm walking there, Keith. Okay, so do you know the Dropkick Murphys?
Oh, of course.
Okay, what is the lead singer like in person?
I've never actually met them in person. I've only seen them once or twice.
Okay. But you have actually met them?
Seen, yes.
Seen, okay. So stalking the Dropkick Murphys.
Yes, absolutely, stalking.
Matt, also, we're having fun here already, but Matt, what do you do at PG UK? Why have we got, obviously, pg.co.uk, it suggests we're British, but obviously we've got a lot of American readers as well. What do you do on the site, Matt?
Well, I'd like to say that I provide some nice, unique American coverage, but I think I just pretty much keep the lights on when you guys go to sleep and make sure if Apple buys Google or Nintendo goes bankrupt, I'm there to cover it.
Okay, okay. Well, that's, I mean, that's an important job. Keith, would you, out of 10 thumbs up, how would you rate Matt as a nice person?
10 thumbs? I haven't got 10 thumbs.
Okay, but out of 10 thumbs, I'll lend you my thumbs. I've got a load of thumbs in a cupboard somewhere, don't ask, but I've got them. You tell me how many of those you would give Matt.
Police are going to be after you now. I would, what, niceness? Is that what we're
rating? Niceness, yes.
He sounds very nice now, but actually to work with, he's very mean and cruel, and he just gives a lot of lip all the time, so it's probably one or two.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, good. Now, the reason that I've done that, the reason that I brought this up, listeners, is I've created tension, and this is important for a podcast, because now Matt's like, I hate Keith. And Keith's like, uh-oh, now Matt knows I don't like him. Now that we've set the bar, let's head on over to the news. Before the news, obviously, what we do is, as Matt will know, because he's listened to a lot of these podcasts, is we do the update. So what we'll kick off with is there's an update, and it's available right now for Angry Birds Seasons, and it's called it's got a brilliant name, actually. I'm just trying to remember it. It's Abracabacon, which is, I mean, personally, I think it's the worst of the puns that they've come up with so far, but the update makes more makes good on that, because it includes these sort of portals, sort of like that you might find in Portal. And what you can do is you can fling a bird into one of these portals, and it will come out of another portal somewhere else on the level map. And they basically build a load of new ideas around this sort of wormhole-based gameplay, which is a new genre that I'm going to have to add to the back end of our site now. And it's darn good. It's a free update, so you can go and get that now if you've got Angry Bird Seasons, and that's on iOS and Android. And we strongly suggest that you do. Star Command for iOS has gained a beginner difficulty setting, bigger ships, and much more. Much more. Some might say some of the stuff... This update basically is adding a bit more of that 70% that isn't in the game that was promised. So what you're getting is obviously this beginner mode. If you're finding it a bit difficult, Star Command. I haven't played Star Command. Keith, have you played it yet? Oh, you haven't played it, have you?
I don't play video games.
No, exactly. Matt, have you played Star Command?
I haven't, no, but now there's training wheels on it, I may give it a go.
Exactly. It's a little bit more like a tricycle now. It's in fact that's I think what they should call it, tricycle mode.
So it's your nickname, isn't it?
Yeah, only in certain circles. And basically what it's what it does is it just makes the game a little bit easier for beginners. There's also much bigger ships that you can sort of toddle about that you can unlock, and there's a heavy difficulty level. Heavy.
It doesn't seem like the opposite of beginner to me. Advanced would be good. Expert, maybe. But heavy yeah. works.
Heavy. But if it's... But why haven't they called the beginner mode light?
Question for the ages.
Isn't it just? So that is available, and you should probably get it. There is also some DLC in the form of Ali's Story for Where's My Water. Now, what does this add, you might ask? Well, I'll tell you if you want. It has 40 steam-filled levels have shot their way onto Where's My Water from Disney. Where's My Water, of course, is the classic physics-based puzzler where you have to get water and splash it all about an alligator. Is it an alligator or is it a crocodile? I always forget.
It's an alligator, isn't it?
Is it, though?
What's his name?
It's Swampy.
Swampy, yeah, it is. It's Swampy the alligator, isn't it? Because that makes no sense whatsoever. And I've complained about that name several times.
Have you actually got in touch with people at Disney?
I don't think they care.
They're too busy rolling in money, aren't they? And they'll be rolling in even more money if you decide that 69 pence is worth 40 levels, which I'm not going to say it's not. Maybe it is. That's all your updates. That's all you're getting. That's all you're getting. News.
Do you not have a special jingle for updates? I think you need a special jingle for updates.
Keith, James is away, all right? And I've got enough on my plate. I'm not going to make a little jingle for it.
You're tempted.
I'm tempted. If I did... Oh, no. I tell you what. If I did make a jingle for it, it would sound like this.
This is the jingle that I would put into the show about all the cool updates for those games that you really love, yeah, but I doubt that this song will ever be heard again.
Now there you go. I'm going to put in a jingle there, and I'll have to do one now. Right, okay.
I apologise. When you're up at 4 in the morning doing that jingle, make my apology.
That's right, because it does take me roughly 8 hours to edit this to such a fine point in podcasting gold. Let's move on to the news. There isn't much news. That's why we did quite a few updates. There isn't much news in a sort of iOS game sense. There's quite a lot of news in a more general mobile and handheld gaming sense. So I've kind of brought in some stories. The big one for iOS gamers is, funnily enough, Android related. So there's a thing you're probably not aware of it because you're too busy enjoying all of the incredibleness that comes with your iPhone and your iPad and your iPad mini and your iPod Touch. But there's a thing called Google I.O. And what that is there's a search engine, yes, much like Lycos, much like Ask Jeeves, much like, name some more quickly.
Alta Vista.
Matt, what's your favorite completely decrepit old search engine that no one ever uses anymore?
Can I say AOL Search?
Of course you can. AOL Search. It's that Google are a bit like that, but what they do is they do a different range of phones and tablets. And they're
phones
all
from Google.
Yeah, that's well. There was a couple.
I'm never switching from my Alta Vista phone. That's my favourite phone.
Your Alta Vista phone is
it's got a rotary on it and everything.
I'm just imagining an Alta Vista phone. Though that would be so good. I imagine because we sort of made this joke a couple of podcasts ago, but it was definitely worth coming back to. But since then, I've been thinking about an Ask Jeeves phone. And I was thinking an Ask Jeeves phone would just look like one of those old wind-up ones that had like got two little separate parts.
And you'd have to have it delivered to you by a butler all the time as well.
Yeah, and it would...
A silver platter.
Yeah, but that Siri stuff, that would work right in, because you could just say, oh, Jeeves!
And he'd go, do you want me to search the web for that? And you think, no, I'd have done that myself.
I'd have done that myself, Jeeves, you pointless search engine. So anyway, Google I.O., Android, Google, big company, guys. Basically, they're talking about like developers. And, oh, come over to Android, all you people. We've got a brilliant platform. Oh, it's wicked. We've got like 500 billion installs of games and that. And some mental figures like 600 million installs of, 600 million activations of, Android, which I'm not 100% sure what that means, but basically if you take...
I thought it was 900, wasn't it?
Is it 900?
Oh, it's 900 million, I thought. Or have I made that up?
I think you've made that up.
I should check back on, John's story because he was there.
Alright.
Sitting in the crowd.
I was watching a little bit of the conference and I did try and look out for JJ because I wanted to be like, ah, like, oh, I know somebody who's at the thing. Ah, I'm sort of famous by that. But it didn't happen. I thought I saw Jeff Scott from, our friends at, One Free Ad. Matt, he's an American. Do you know Jeff Scott?
I have not had the pleasure. He's on the far side of the country.
We must all know each other, surely.
Yeah, exactly.
I just pop over to Seattle every time I have, you know, $1,200 to burn on a cross-country flight. Just down the street, really.
Okay, good.
It is 900 million, I have to say.
It is 900 million?
900 million installs. Activations, wrong.
I am doing Google a disservice. I'm sure that now that I don't want to mess with their stock by talking about it negatively on the podcast inadvertently. So, okay. 900 gajillion installs. Basically, that's a big number because there's only 7 billion of us on this planet. So anyway, good stuff. The reason that this is important is essentially that they are bringing out this brand new feature called Google Play Game Services because they've never had an equivalent to Game Center on any of their games. And it's been a real pain in the bottom. For somebody like myself, who's like organizing game stuff, to actually, you know, get lots of people together to play games. And Google have clearly listened to all of the emails that I've sent them, because what they've done is they've created this Google Play Game Services. And what that's going to do is act a little bit like the Game Center that we know and love and
hate. I knew you were going to say love there. I just had to get in there.
I quite like it. I love the fact that it's incredibly hackable. So longest tangent ever. What this means, this is a really cool thing, but what it's doing is it's sneaking onto the iOS. All clever that, because you're going to be able to put it into, or developers will be able to put it into, iOS games, because it's based around Google Plus, which is spoken about in the same sort of levels as Alta Vista and Lycos at the moment. It's a sort of
MySpace, I suppose.
Or MySpace. It's a sort of social platform that nobody uses. But it might become a little bit better now that this Google Play game services coming about, because it's all tied into that. And you can get it on your iOS device. It means that developers can basically do very easy to implement. Not for me. I don't know anything about games. I know something about games. I always wouldn't have the job I have, but I don't know anything about making them.
That's a brilliant admission.
Yeah, I don't know anything about games. Like, literally, like, fire up a game and go, colours. I guess I'll put together 400 words on this. But basically, it means that they can do sort of cross-platform gameplay rather easily using, you know, and this asynchronous multiplayer. And you're sort of skipping this iOS thing. So, Matt Keith, is this a game changer for both Google Play game services, iOS, and also tangentially G+?
G+.
I think it's going to be absolutely huge for the tens of people who are using Google Plus. They're going to have their day in the sun with this, but I don't know. I mean, it's funny. I've seen some of our readers comment that they're thinking that this is going to be their one impetus to finally start using Google Plus, which doesn't really speak too well for the social platform. But I don't know how many inroads it's going to make on iOS, to be honest. If it supported the real-time multiplayer across Android and iOS, I think it would be a huge draw. So you could finally take that, you know, I have an iPhone, you have a Nexus, let's fight kind of thing to the streets. But it's just going to support leaderboards and achievements, and I don't really see that getting too much traction on iOS personally.
Well, our absent podcast member John made a good point. He made it via Twitter actually. He was talking about everyone was comparing it to Game Center, so you can actually do. But his idea, having sat in on the 3.5-hour conference, how long it was that it's more akin to actually kind of connect with Facebook and using the social network to link you up.
Kind of like an open thing, sort of, too,
yeah.
Right?
So it's less of a, I mean, because there isn't, as we've kind of been talking about in our virtual office today, there isn't like an app or a hub based on some NAF billiards table or whatever Apple's one is. it just kind of is in the background and developers can slip it in if they want. That sounds wrong. I think it's more of a, yeah, I think it's a first step. I don't know whether actually, if they had tried to make it go across iOS as well with multiplayer, Apple would have.
Whoa, guys, whoa, stop the podcast for a second. Matt has turned into a werewolf. Hold up.
I'm sorry, I thought I muted that.
Whoa! What is happening?
So sorry, that is my lovely 20-pound dog that just arrived at the front door.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Matt, I have seen an American werewolf in Paris, okay? Now, I'm not suggesting that you are in Paris, but I am suggesting that maybe you are a werewolf.
I am deeply mortified and sorry about that, and I cannot speak to being a werewolf one way or another.
I thought that was just his way of agreeing with me. I thought he was just really up for what I was saying.
Well, so a sort of like almost like a wolf whistle, but like a dog howl. Like, maybe we can make this a new thing where, like, people, like, agree with people. Like, you know how, like, obviously, like, when I see a bird, yeah? Like when you see him, like, wandering down the streets, you do a little wolf whistle. Well, like, what you could do when you agree with somebody about a technological point of view, what you could do is a dog howl. I think, you know, to sort of come back from the lycanthropism, did I get that right? I just used a really big word. To come back to this, it is a lot like Facebook integration, and I think for Android users, obviously this is going to be a really big deal because it means, like, you know, multiplayer, like really decent sort of put together multiplayer at the same time as you're playing everything else. But there is this asynchronous stuff that is coming over to the iOS side of things. I think this is the first step, personally. This is a good move. It's a very subtle. This is a very subtle chess-like move by Google to encroach further and further into Apple's device.
I was going to say before Matt got carried away.
Sure.
That I wonder if they'd had a try to do multiplayer across the two, whether Apple would have invented some rule within their masses of regulations for the App Store that you can't do that or blah blah blah. So I don't know. It's an interesting first step. It'd be interesting to see what they do next. It's always interesting when one of the big players does something on one of the other players' platforms, because they're all very. I mean, at the moment, Microsoft and Google are having this massive spat over Microsoft's YouTube app on Windows Phone, which is quite interesting. And when these Google and Apple have had notable spats in the past, and when they all start kind of actually doing stuff on each other's platforms, I think they're all a bit wary of crossing the line and ending up breaking some invented rule or other that the other invents just to catch them out. So it's an interesting first step anyway. I think the longer this industry carries on, the more people will be less inclined to have things that are only on one platform that only work. I mean, like you know, we've also, this week has also seen BBM is going to launch across iOS and Android. Ironically, before it's even launched on Playbook. I think it's because people now, they don't see those borders anymore. If they've got friends who are on other phones, as they ultimately do, they're annoyed if whether it's messaging or gaming, they can't connect with them and they don't quite understand why. And so all of these borders, I think, that have been put up are now starting to come down. And I don't think Apple will ever do a game center that spans multiple platforms. But I think Microsoft could well, with the next Xbox, shift the way Xbox Live works a bit so that it kind of works fully across other people's platforms. And I think this is Google's first step towards trying to do something similar as well.
We, of course, ask a question every Thursday around about 5 p.m, sometimes 6 p.m. if I've been rushed, to all of our followers on Twitter. And this week it was regarding this exact topic. I don't mean to blow your mind, but it was. We've had a couple of responses back from two of, I would say, I think you guys will agree with me, two of the very best podcast listeners that we have. The most active podcast listeners that we have. The question that we asked was, if you own an iPhone or an iPad or any device, will you be trying out these Google Play services? And Enrique Herrera, superfan, says, I'd love to try it just for the experience. How it functions will determine if I keep it or not. Smiley face. And Ryan J. Navarro-Cote says, no, not interested. Split right down the middle. That's our fan base.
That's our entire fan base there as well.
Thank you to the two listeners we have. But genuinely, thank you for those responses. I think I asked it a bit late. I think that's why we haven't got many responses. I think the reason that you're going to see a lot of indecision about all of this is it is a very new idea, basically. You know, this is a space unlike any other mobile, I mean, it doesn't have those sort of age-old tent pegs that home console, for example, traditional home console have of, like, we are Sony and we will bury Nintendo and we are Sega and we are Nintendo. You know, like, it doesn't have all of that, like, history and rivalry and that sort of thing. And I think that there is more potential on mobile for truly cross-platform gaming to take place. You've certainly seen it with PC stuff. We're going to see way more of that. Obviously, the on live experiment was, you know, sort of dipped into some of that, and I think you're going to see it a lot more. And this announcement from Google, I think, is a step further in that direction. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how all of this plays out. And the other little bit of news, because I knew that was going to take a while. I knew that Matt would turn into a werewolf at some point. this year, exactly. Is the news Karateka is the classic Apple II fist fighting one-on-one battler is coming to iOS. And it's going to try and, the reason I really love this story is that it's going to try and recreate the Apple II experience by making the screen look crap and sort of having the old style visuals for Karateka. And if you don't know what Karateka is, then
First of all,
don't play the new one because it is rubbish, as Matt says. Have you played it?
I kind of had the honor of reviewing it for Pocket Gamer, and it was rubbish all around. 650 megs or something for the profile. Game is huge, and it takes about 20 minutes to beat. Clunky as anything. Bad collision physics. It was just a mess from start to finish.
Not even as good as the original. And I think it got did you give it a 4?
I think so. Let me see. I gave it a 4. Nice. I would sooner go out and buy an Apple II computer than play that one.
Well, you don't. You might not have to.
Really?
You might not have to, because this version is going to try to replicate that. It's going to try and make it look as if you've got you're playing on a CRT screen that's sort of pushing out information in green and amber. So it's going to make your beautiful £500, maybe £600. That's maybe, I don't know, what's that in American money? $900? Well, how much is an iPhone now? Top of the range iPhone off contract.
If you're buying it on contract, it's about maybe $400. If you buy it off contract, it's probably closer to $800 or $900.
So you've gone out, maybe you've spent $800-$900 on an iPhone, or you've spent a huge amount of money on an iPad or whatever, and you're going to try and make it look all crap with Karateka Classic, which I'm actually quite excited about. I love this idea of like going back to and trying to recreate all of the old flaws of video games. I think it's a really interesting space that we're in terms of sort of artistic style, where we can go back and make things look naff. And it was sort of started by this pixel art 8-bit, you know, lots of JRPGs that are going back and trying to be this old style, this old style of game. And now you're getting it even more with stuff like, you know, trying to replicate 80s and 90s box art in like a Mega Man 9 or a Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. And with this, you're actually trying to replicate how the screen looks naff on an Apple II. I think that's.
Didn't someone do this with Nokia Snake not too long ago?
What?
Where they came out with the green and black version of it that looked just like the old mobile like Snake game. Or am I just making this up in a mad fever dream?
Oh, it sounds like a dream.
Oh, but what a dream it would be if it came true.
What a dream it would be. So there's that news as well. Keith, you've stayed relatively quiet on this one. I think it's because you're either trying to figure out whether or not it's Karateka or Karateka or Karadaga or whatever, or maybe it's just that you've never played it.
Well, yeah, I think you can probably guess which one is the reason.
All right.
Yeah, we go beyond never played it to never even heard of it. So there you go.
You've never heard of it? It's a one-on-one fighter. It's kind of like it's by do you know who Jordan Mechner is?
No.
Oh, Keith, have you heard of Prince of Persia?
Yeah. It was the one with Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. Sir Ben Kingsley, wasn't it?
You know what? I saw that movie in the cinema. Good movie. Not really. It was the game that he did before Prince of Persia. It was the game where he first started his rotoscoping technique of taking photographs of his brother in gym stuff and then like drawing him, before he might have been put on a list for that sort of thing. You can't do that these days. You can't just get your little brother to dress up and run about in front of you and take photos of him anymore and then put him in a video game. What is this world coming to, eh? It's from him, and it's kind of a, without that, you really wouldn't be having a Street Fighter. They're very different games and worlds apart. But it was kind of a progenitor to Virtua Fighter's way of, let's try and make a fighter that has a real sense of impact, and you have to be quite tactical about the whole thing. And it is a stone cold classic. I don't know whether or not it would be any good now, but who can tell? But yes, so. I'm just glad that Jordan Mechner is back in the game, because that man is a genius as far as I'm concerned. So it's been, guys, it's been an exciting news segment, but unfortunately this energy that we've built up already, we're going to have to calm it down. and we're going to have to move on to the new releases. Oh, interruption. Yeah, sorry. Basically, I said last week that I was going to report back on this Fine Fincher friend thing. If you missed it last week, maybe you're not caught up, but you're checking this one out. You're out of sync, first of all. And second of all, Fine Fincher friend. Basically, Finch is one of my favourite Pocket Gamer community members. I mean, obviously, you're all my favourites. I love you all like my children. But Finch. Finch is in a bit of a bind at the moment. He's come over from America. He's in the UK. And he's working around, let's just say, basically people that aren't really into video games. And that sucks, because he wants to be able to share that enthusiasm for video games. Now, obviously, he's come to pocketgamer.co.uk and he's putting stuff into the forums. He's listening to the podcast. He's chatting away, loving it. But sometimes you just want to have like a one-on-one email conversation with somebody about video games. Like, oh, man, what are you enjoying? Oh, I'm enjoying this. Oh, brilliant, yeah. And that's what Finch wants. So he got in touch before last week's show and sort of said, you know, is there any way that any PG community members, you know, want to make some new friends, an internet friend? And that's what Finch wants, basically. So I said, hey, come on. Yeah, wicked. Let's sort that out. So I asked him to fire over some facts because, PG community, you've been terrible. I'm sorry. But he's had no responses, and I know how many thousands of you there are that listen, and I know how awesome you are, PG community members. So, I mean, you know, it was raining last week, so we were all on a bit of a downer. I understand. I was like that. So, fine. Fair enough. We'll look past that. But this week, it's time to pull your thumb out and let's do this. Let's find Finch a friend. So, yes, I asked Finch. I said, come on, give me some more information about who you are and we'll find you that. We'll find you a couple of internet pals. And he sort of said, okay, fine. So he's let me know. He is super platform agnostic. He's got an iPhone. Absolutely loves it. Motor World Car Factory. Ridiculous Fishing. Gemini Rue. Letterpress. Robot Unicorn Attack 2. Temple Run 2. All sorts. Loves iOS gaming. Super into it. And obviously, if you're looking for some friends to like play those video games with on a regular basis, boosh, this man is your competitor. He's also into sort of like more traditional home console stuff. So he's into Portal, Okami, Mario Kart, Dark Souls. Oh, come on, that is hardcore. We all know how to... Oh, hello. Deadly Premonition. Now, I know that there are some Deadly Premonition fans listening to this. So, podcast@pocketgamer.co.uk. Get in touch with me. I will fire your email address over to Finch, and you will spark up, probably guaranteed, the best friendship you've ever had. Ever. Because he's an absolutely, genuinely lovely person. So, that sort of is like video game taste. He's been in the game ages. Atari 2600, that's what he started out on. That's what he was weaned on. And he's banging all the way up to PC games, PS2, 360, Wii. And he says, you know, if I could get a PS3, I totally would. But he doesn't have one of those. But he's got an iPhone. That's the important thing. What else? Super into books, Tolkien, Dickens, World War Z, 1984, Walking Dead, he's into comic books too. That's good. I'm into comic books, actually. Oh, man. Oh, I should read some more comic books. Oh, I've got to edit the podcast. All right. And he's into music, big eclectic taste, Gorillaz, Wild Beasts, Killswitch Engage, Chemical Brothers, Counting Crows, Johnny Cash, the lot. Come on. He's not super into sports, but he watched the Olympics, loves ice hockey, and again, PG community, I know that there are some hockey fans out there listening to this podcast@pocketgamer.co.uk. Let's find Finch a friend. Come on, guys, step up to the plate. Drop me an email. We'll make a brilliant, brilliant internet hug on this one. All right, okay, I'm going to return you to the schedule program because this is going long. This is a long episode, isn't it? Am I doing okay? I'm off next week. You haven't got to put up with this. All right, okay. Keith.
Yep.
Gravity Guy 2 by Miniclip. What's this about? What's it about, Keith?
I've got a screenshot up here. And it looks a bit like Blockbuster. It's the old quiz show with Bob Holness. There's a lot of... hexagon, what are they? What shape is that?
It's six-sided, so it'll be a hexagon.
Is it? Six-sided. So lots of hexagons on the screen.
Yep.
And a small child in the corner. That's it.
Okay, so it's nothing like that. It's a sort of physics-y, platformy runner game. Is it a runner game? I think it's a runner game. It's a sort of physics-y, platformy game in which you tap the screen to flip gravity, and you can sort of bounce from ceiling to floor.
Do you know what? I think it's a novel twist on the endless runner genre, but it's not massively enjoyable.
I don't know where you've got that information from, Keith. I'm just going to cough my lungs up. Hold on. I've been ill. Guys, I've been ill. It's been naff. And unfortunately, what's happened is I went to go and see Eddie Izzard over the weekend, and that was in London. Matt, that's our big city. It's where all of the things happen. Basically, if you want to see something good, then you have to go to London, because Eddie Izzard, for example, international star. I mean, he is actually British, believe it or not. He did a performance at a place called Wembley Arena, and I went to go and see him there. But I was incredibly ill, and I was sat next to this old man. And I'm going to tell you this story because I have to get it off my chest. And I was very ill, and I was there, and I just thought, oh, I'm just going to infect all these other people that are sitting around me. I don't care. But I knew that the performance was going to be the performance that I saw that I would remember for the rest of my life, when the empty seat next to me was taken up by an old man who looked like who basically slammed down into the seat, his elbow slamming into my chest, clutching two bottles of wine and a plastic beaker, and then he proceeded to pour both bottles into the same beaker, and then the show started, and he wasn't even looking at the stage. He had his eyes closed, and he was the kind of old man that did not give a fuck about anybody or anything around him, and I want to be that old man. I think I've decided. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So guys, Tomb Raider is a free download for your iPhone and iPad, if you've got it.
It's free.
It's a gem matching puzzle game. So it's sort of it's matching adjacent gems, and then you basically you draw your finger on the screen and to match up all of those gems, and then you score. It's not a brand new idea, you know. But then it's from a developer called Simple Machine. So, you know, it's a simple...
I quite like the sound of it.
Do you really?
That's the kind of thing I end up playing when I do play games, which isn't often because I'm very popular and sociable and, you know, spend a lot of time out at parties. Yeah, I like matching up gems.
All right. Frozen Synapse by Mode 7. This is an iPad exclusive.
Well, yeah, if you don't account the fact that it's already on PC and stuff.
Yeah, iPad exclusive, and it is £4.99, and I know, and $6.99 if you are from where Matt lives. Then this is basically a strategy shooter. Have you played this? You seem like the kind of person who would play this.
I haven't actually. I've been trying to figure out what a frozen synapse is, and I've never really gotten past that. So the game's kind of been outside of my interests.
So it's basically, to explain to you, it is basically a sort of tactical shooter in the vein of a Rainbow Six Vegas. If Rainbow Six Vegas was purely top down, and if matches could last like 30 seconds. It's meant to be very, very good. I too have not played it. It's meant to be utterly, utterly superb. And Yes. So basically, we've reviewed it and said that it is a very good port of an excellent strategy game. So I think if you are into things like Civilization, then you will probably quite like it.
Developers are very nice, and that's what matters. So
they are, I've heard, actually. They're always very communicative, aren't they?
I've run into them at a few things. They're very friendly.
What? How friendly are they? Can you tell us? Can you give us a hot scoop about what any like hot industry shenanigans that were going on?
Well, I'm having one of them's babies, so
what? Yeah. Exclusive. Sip.
You get sued. You'll have to edit that out.
All right. Okay. Bombcats.
Bombcats.
Matt, what's Bombcats?
It's a game with cats and bombs that assuming is powered by some form of electricity. and runs on mobile devices, like an iPad or iPhone, maybe.
That's true.
It's Chillingo!
It is Chillingo. Your friends and mine from Chillingo. The game itself is by Radiant Games, who made Inferno Plus and Super Crossfire, which is actually properly ace. I really like Super Crossfire. No joke. This is a free-to-play, cute and cartoony physics puzzler, which is a bit like Iblast Mocky, and it's got in-app purchases. You know, it's a bit surprising. We're a bit surprised, let's say. But it could be good. And guess what? You can find out for free, because it is free.
This makes our job redundant, really. I don't know why we're here.
Well, we had this conversation, didn't we, actually? We had this conversation as to whether or not your job's redundant. No, we were talking. There was something called a team talk that we did that was kind of centered around why bother reviewing freemium games. And I think we all finished on the idea that actually your greatest expense is time. And
well, yeah, other people have lives, don't they? So.
Well, you know, this is it. You know, I'm chilling out playing all the hot video games for my job. But you know, like a lot of people have got jobs where they're like, I don't know, working in an office or doing. What do other people do?
Traffic wardens.
Traffic warden. Matt, what's the job?
There are people who make coffee for a living, people who deliver coffee for a living.
That's a good job.
I'm very tuned into the coffee industry at the moment.
That's a good job. I'd do that.
Okay. So, you know, people who make coffee, not necessarily enough time to play all the hot jams. So, I think that's the reason that we're about. We're also about for the games that still cost money, like Red Line Rush, which is by...
That was very slick.
That was a good segue.
That would have been a really good segue if you hadn't stopped it from being a segue.
Well, you can edit that out if you want.
No, I can't. I'm not going to. Dogbite Games have made a game for your iPhone or your iPad, and it will cost you $69.99. This is a game where you are a driver of a car, and it's an endless runner. basically, it's an endless driver. You are a man. Yeah, no, you're in a car, but you're running around in the car.
Like the Flintstones, it hasn't got a bottom.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh no. Oh my word. What if they made a Flintstones driving game? Was an endless driver? Is that an endless runner or is that an endless driver?
It would be an endless runner, wouldn't it?
Oh,
I don't know why they haven't done it.
Oh,
well, I don't think they're far off. They're coming out with a Garfield endless runner soon.
No, they're not. No, that's not true.
I wish I was kidding.
What? Tell us all about the Garfield endless runner. Is there lasagna?
There is lasagna.
Is Friday always bad?
Mondays are bad.
Is it Monday?
Mondays.
No, I didn't think. No, it's not. He doesn't like Fridays, does he?
I don't want to admit Mondays because that would mean that I've read more Garfield comics than I care to admit. But in this one, Garfield goes to sleep and has a dream where he's flying around and has to collect lasagna and avoid aliens and witches, which is basically what Garfield was about, if you recall, except not at all.
Yeah, John was always saying, watch out for those aliens, Garfield. lasagna. He did like lasagna, though, that is true. Red Line Rush, obviously, coming back to... Stop it. you can't derail me like this, guys. You especially, Matt. I don't know if we're going to have you back on. Redline Rush is this racing game. There's an endless runner, and you take on the role of Dominic Toretto, of a Dominic Toretto type character, I should say, not Dominic Toretto. I haven't got a license for that. Flipping heck. It looks all right. I mean,
who's Dominic Toretto?
Dominic Toretto.
I could have done that.
Dominic Toretto, Keith, you loser, not getting out. Dominic Toretto is the incredible main character from The Fast and the Furious. Obviously, I would know such a well-rounded character as Dominic Toretto.
That's a movie for boys, isn't it? Yeah, no.
It certainly is.
Yeah, we tough sports guys know all about that. We watch all of them.
Me and you, Matt, we're all somebody I follow was saying Leafs, go Leafs. They're doing something at the moment. Go Leafs. Leafs. Anyway, Dominic Toretto isn't in this, but you sort of play a little bit like him in that you drive around and everything's a little bit meaningless. Manuganu is by Alpa Sarakaya. I hope I've pronounced that right. It's for iPhone, iPad, season OP. 99 cents.
Oh, old Alpa. I love Alpa.
Do you?
All right, Alpa. Yeah, he's a good guy. It's always she's a good girl, one of the two.
That's a bit sexist. Manuganu is a colourful and competent auto-runner, according to our write-up.
Auto-runner.
So I guess an endless runner, our definition of that, is something like a temple run where there is no end.
Well, so this is more like Rayman, is it, where it runs for you?
That's correct. Rayman or, what would be another example?
I would have to say Joe Danger.
Yeah, perhaps. Probably Joe Danger.
Oh,
Matt.
Of course.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's 30 levels. You run along, you have to jump over that sort of spikes on that, and you've got to get out of the way of stuff. Oh, collecting coins, medallions, you know the score. It looks quite nice. So, you know, if you're after another one of those, then you might well find that you enjoy it when you play.
I didn't realise that actually those two examples of an auto runner are actually in the text there. I just read that.
You don't give the game away.
I said Rayman off the top of my own head.
Sure. Jacob Jones and the Bigfoot Mystery, Episode 1, is from Lucid Games, and it is £1.99 and $2.99. Come on, Lucid Games, it's 2013, you can't charge money for anything. But apparently you can, because it's rather good. This is not want to be... I wouldn't want to be too derivative, but this is Professor Layton on your iPhone. Or maybe Puzzle Agent, which is probably the better game, in my opinion. You wander around, you solve a bunch of puzzles, you know, like matchstick puzzles, where you have to create a picture out of a certain number of matchsticks, and then, yeah. There's also kind of like a story that goes along with it, and it is a rather lovely looking game. It's sort of, the main character has got a little, he's got a little hood with ears on, which I always think is quite sweet. And, apparently, the one thing that we do say is that the sort of puzzles are, you know, it's very heavily inspired by Professor Layton. It hasn't got the art style. It's a 3D, a little bit more pastel, soft, early Pixar kind of look. But the puzzles are so inspired from Professor Layton that some of them are just kind of exactly the same. So it's not that fresh in that department. But hey, maybe you haven't played it. So go and take it out, check it out, have a look. One for you nerds now. Star Trek Rivals is an asynchronous multiplayer card battler that has been cobbled together in time for the release of the Star Trek movie, according to our write-up. I love Star Trek.
I was going to say, it looks like a great game. I remember it when it was called Triple Triad in Final Fantasy VIII. That's essentially exactly what it is.
Ooh, what? What is this?
In Final Fantasy VIII, you had the card game Triple Triad, which is a fun little mini game. Mm-hmm. And you would collect cards, each with a number on the side, and you'd have to lay them down. The whole thing was basically the Star Trek Rivals plot here, where you put a big number over a little number, and you take control over the other player's card, and whoever has the most cards wins. So it's a good update of Triple Triad, though I, you know, prefer Squall to be on there somewhere.
Would if in a fight between Squall and Captain Kirk, who would win?
That really depends. If we're talking William Shatner, Kirk, all bets are off. But sure. Against the new one, I'm going to have to give that one to Squall.
Yeah. Do you know what? You're right. That's actually right. That's the correct answer. Because if it was Shatner, he's a wild card.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't know if he's coming in from the left. You don't know if he's coming in from the right. You don't know if he's going to break out into a little song and a dance number. You don't know what's going to happen. And
he like a picture of an ice cream cone instead of a number on one side, and you don't know what to do against that. You couldn't do anything against it.
Keith, you've got no idea what you're going up against if you want to fight Captain Kirk as played by William Shatner. All right? Just leave it. It's free anyway. So, Keith, you might want to check it out before you take on the Shat. Fast and Furious 6 by Kabam. It's for your iPhone and iPad, and it is also free. And it is a game where also you are playing as that man who I've completely forgotten the name of, Dominic Toretto. You might be playing as him. I don't know. I haven't watched the movies. I always thought Gone in 60 Seconds was a better movie. It's a drag racer, much in the style of CSR Racing. And there are bits where you drift around bends, which is the thing that separates it from CSR Racing. So, if you like CSR Racing, and
you thought it wasn't bendy enough,
maybe Ridge Racer, then maybe
Ridge Racer,
or maybe even Fast and the Furious 6.
Or yeah, maybe you like maybe what you do is you walk out of Fast and Furious 6 and you go, do you know what? That was the best movie I have ever seen. And you go, I wish that there was a mobile. There is a mobile version of this. Oh, brilliant! I can't wait to relive all of the high drama and dramatic tension of the movie I just saw. This Is Not a Ball Game by Absurd Interactive is a free game for your iPhone and your iPad. But it is actually a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit misleading.
I don't know where these developers get off sometimes. It's a 3D Angry Birds, because they always work, where you lob balls at physics objects in the hope to destroy them.
Why did you say that like a robot there?
Because I'm trying to get excited about this. It's a little bit like that Buzz Lightyear game that just come out.
Oh yeah, no, that was terrible. Yeah.
No, I like that.
No, I didn't.
Oh well, if you're not a grumpy guts, then you might.
You were going to say something ruder than that.
I've already dropped the F bomb, and I'm going to have to edit that out. I think this actually looks pretty good. You've got to knock things off of things with a ball. And I think, do you know what? A little nice casual puzzly game for free like that? Yeah, yeah. And apparently it's inspired by Absurdism, René Magritte, and the Art Nouveau movement.
And Angry Birds.
And also Angry Birds. And then finally, there is, unless I'm forgetting anything, John's not here, so he's not here to pick me up on it. There's All Glory to the Pixel King by Steve O'Gorman. This is 69p, 99 cents. And this is a turn-based tactics game with an extremely, extremely stripped-down lo-fi. It's almost pre-8-bit, isn't it? It's gorgeous in a kind of reductionist kind of a way. The idea, you raise troops, soldiers, archers, battering rams, and then you take them against the enemy, and then you storm the castle, and then you win. It's apparently very, very simple.
I think you should have said the developer's name in an Irish accent.
I'm not going to do that, but Matt.
You wanted to.
In interest of diplomacy between our countries, I'll pass on that one.
Okay, so I'm Matt, just at this halfway point, I do apologise.
Halfway?
Yeah, probably, mate. I do apologise for being mean to you, because funnily enough, we do actually have lots and lots of American listeners. But as a Brit, I think there is, because to try to explain this to somebody who's not American or British, maybe a Canadian, there is, or somebody else, there is this sort of unspoken, friendly rivalry, I think, between British and Americans, where it's kind of, it's kind of like the Swedes and the Norwegians.
Okay.
Where, and, or, you're clearly new to this, that's not good. Or maybe it's just the British.
Just in your head, I think.
Because apparently the Australians really don't like the people from New Zealand. But the people from New Zealand...
The people from New Zealand.
That's right, New Zealanders. But apparently people from New... That's right. But the people from New Zealand don't really give a monkeys. Like,
we
apparently
know,
they
yeah,
don't
that,
know
that,
about the rivalry.
That's all rugby. Middle Earth. What do they need to be upset about?
Yeah, this is true, yeah. They're just...
That's all rugby-based, isn't it? Because the All Blacks are all conquering and the Australians are jealous and the New Zealanders don't really care because they're all conquering.
Yeah, because they're like, check it out, we can throw a weird-shaped ball at a thingy.
They do the funny dance before each match and you think...
Oh, isn't that... No, that's Tonga, isn't it?
The Haka.
The Haka, yeah. Is that New Zealand?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm... See, you don't know about our friendly rivalry, and I didn't know about the hacker, so maybe I've just made all of this stuff up. This could be... It could be that. Let's move on to what we've been playing.
Alrighty.
Okay.
What we've been playing!
Keith.
Yep.
Sir, what have you been playing?
I see on your cheeky notes here that you don't think I've been playing anything.
Do you know what? I can only go on past experience. What have you been playing then, Keith? Please blow my mind.
I have actually been playing something.
Okay.
But it's not strictly new.
Right. Okay.
It has
fine.
Just been updated yesterday. The original Sonic the Hedgehog.
Ooh.
On iOS and I think Android as well, I'm not sure. Has been updated quite majorly actually. So they brought the guy on board who I think did he do some unofficial ports of Sonic?
Yeah, he said he was going to bring it to Windows Phone, didn't he? And then Sega were like, oh no, you're not.
And they kind of now they're using him.
Yeah.
And as a result, it runs like 700 times better than the original one they put out did.
Mm.
And it's also in widescreen on my iPod Touch, which is lovely. But the most important thing is they've added, and if you're a Sonic fan, this kind of thing will blow your mind. So, having played it, I think you have to complete it first as the original Sonic the Hedgehog. But once you have, you can then either play through it, as Knuckles or Tails, which is...
What, the original Sonic?
The original Sonic. And you can also, with any of the characters, you can spin dash, which you could never do in the first one because it hadn't been invented yet. Which doesn't actually change things much at all, but, it just feels interesting and it's the kind of thing that gets people. Apparently you could spin dash, they released some kind of Saturn compendium back in the day.
Yes, they did. I have that collection and, that was the first time they introduced it, I believe.
Yeah, and so, but for me, who I have one now, but I couldn't afford a Saturn at the time. This is quite astounding. So I've been playing that on and off since they updated it last night, or was it this morning? At one midnight, whenever. And yeah, it runs very, very smoothly, and it looks really good. And I can't wait to play Knuckles in it. Although you know, if you're into the Sonic narrative, that doesn't really make much sense.
Sorry, what? The what?
The narrative.
What narrative? Yeah.
Oh my god! Honestly, there was a whole story. Did you never used to buy Sonic the Comic? It was amazing.
I never used to play Sonic because I hated the games. So.
Yeah. Well, this explains a lot. But yeah, no. So it doesn't really make much sense if you're heavily into
right.
story behind the series. If you're not, it's just quite cool to see Knuckles running around in the Sonic 1 levels. So yeah, I've been playing that and I'm impressed so far. And I should probably keep playing it to remind myself of how difficult it actually was.
Mm. It was a very, very difficult game back in the day. Matt, did you play Sonic?
I did, yes. Sonic 2, the old Sega Genesis game. I haven't tried the iOS version yet, but I've heard good things about it since it's been updated.
So,
now's the time.
What did you play on?
Sega Genesis.
That's what they called it over there.
Oh, what did you call it over there?
It was the Mega Drive.
The Mega Drive, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a better name.
Same as the Japanese, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. did you enjoy it, Matt? Because I. Were you a Sega boy or a Nintendo something?
I was on Sega train until my Genesis or my Mega Drive gave up the ghost. So then I grabbed the Super Nintendo and I've been Nintendo ever since. So nice.
Genesis broke.
Yeah, it actually it broke. It
my Mega Drive still works now.
I've actually got a weird story about that. My a friend of mine had a Mega Drive.
Is this one of those? It isn't a friend of yours, is it? It's you.
Yeah, that's right. and they had a Mega Drive, and they got so infuriated with one of the games. I think it might have been Altered Beast or one of those sort of like really cheap games. Mm-hmm. Streets of Rage 3, for example. They got so infuriated with it that they yanked it out of the television, like yanked all the cables, did not give a monkeys about the TV falling onto the floor or whatever. Yanked all of the screen, all the power came out, all the AV came out, and chucked it out of the window. They chucked the entire Mega Drive / Genesis unit out of a window, and they were on like the second floor or something like that. And then, like, obviously realizing what they'd just done, and they were, you know, 12 years old or whatever it was, they sort of like wandered downstairs, like went and picked it up from outside, took it back up, plugged it back in, and it still works. And they still have it today. It still works today. Can you imagine? Like I've like a gnat farted on my PlayStation and it broke. Do you know what I mean? Like like awful. But like, and if you drop an iPhone at just the wrong angle. Shattered, but he threw a Mega Drive. He threw a flipping top of the range console out of a window, and it still works today. That is technology, isn't it? I will go next. Guys, Impossible Road is an amazing game. It is kind of like Super Hexagon, except for it's. So you're a ball, you're a white ball, and you're going down a blue track, and the track kind of contorts and becomes thinner and expands a little and weaves around and is sort of procedurally generated. And you have to get the white ball, and, you know, there's no end or anything like that. You sort of move the white ball down this track really quickly. It reminds me of Wipeout sometimes a little bit, actually. And you just have to kind of stay on the track for as long as possible. And if you do come off of the track, then you can sort of jump large sections of track. A little bit like we were talking about last week, like in the Rainbow Road in Mario Kart, we could jump over stuff. And it's incredibly compulsive. It is a high score game. But high scores where if you get, like, I just got 50 points, right? I just broke the 50-point mark yesterday. And I felt so excited about it because, oh, my goodness, I couldn't believe it. And you get these points by driving through these checkpoints. And they're really closely, you know, really close together. But just trying to actually reach all of those checkpoints and surviving is such a Herculean task. That when you do get, you know, 30, 40 points, you really do feel like you've actually accomplished something. It's got a really good driving electronica soundtrack. It's extremely minimalist and not in a sort of retro pixely, oh, isn't it cool? Isn't 16-bit awesome? It's in a very deliberately minimal 3D engine. Made in Unity, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. Touchscreen controls work really, really well. It's utterly, utterly brilliant. I'm raving about it. PG UK is raving about it generally. We've got a good review up on the site. And I think, as a little bit of a hint for the podcaster listeners,
We might be doing something with it in the future in terms of a competition. Might be doing that. I've said too much. I know. Exclusive. This is just full of exclusives. Matt, you've been playing a game, and now I am desperate to hear from you on this because it's from a company I've always wanted to play the games of, never really understood why people enjoy them, and also the person that's going to be talking about it, that's you, Matt, is a really big fan of this type of genre. So I am excited for you to talk to me about your game. What game have you been playing this week?
I have been playing Kingdom and Dragons. And I don't know why, but I find it strangely compelling, and I can't stop playing it. I don't want to invite a comparison to one of the iconic games of the 90s published by Square Enix, but I'm going to. It totally reminds me of ActRaiser in a good number of ways, and I'm sure it's intentional, where you split the gameplay up between city building and kind of a side-scrolling action RPG fighting, neither of which are terribly well fleshed out, but it still delivers a fun little package of RPG goodness when you're done building up your city. And it does have a strong social component. Sure, there's IAPs all over the place. But it's a good amount of fun. What I really, really dig about it, though, is how odd and esoteric the character design is for the three characters you can play. There's Alan the Templar, Robin the Bowmaster, I had to look these up, and Rose the Enchantress. But the funny thing is, the design for all of them is almost completely lifted from other games. You've got Luna from Final Fantasy III, the Bowmaster is about one duel cast away from being a Red Mage, and Rose the Enchantress kind of looks like she wandered over from Dragon's Crown coming out for the Vita. But the funny thing is, for such a casual and social game, they're picking some pretty esoteric character designs there, and I kind of like that. I want to reward the designers for this, because I feel like they're trying to make like a social game for the hardcore RPG fan, something that they can play when they're in the bathroom or in the loo or whatever you want to call it. Do you use the word loo over there?
We call it the toilet.
Oh, that's what you sit on when you're in the bathroom. But yeah, so it's a fun little pocketable game. I mean, it's not going to change the way you think by any means, but it's free and you can play it for free. So it's certainly a good diversion. Not going to scratch any good questing or JRPG itch, but there are other things for that.
Well, while we've got you on the podcast, I think it would be foolish of me to not ask you a question, because obviously you are a resident PG JRPG expert. That's the official title. On your business card. There's one question that sort of springs up for me for this. Now, this is a free to play game, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So, where do you kind of, as a big sort of like classic Japanese role playing game fan, where do you kind of sit on the sort of end of the spectrum of RPGs that are either free and therefore sort of either extremely IAP heavy or sort of really impede your progress when you're in battles and so forth, progress and story? Versus the sort of Square model, which is, this is a premium product, you're going to pay a premium price. Like, where do you kind of fall in on this stuff?
I am very schizophrenic on it. I will almost never pay for IAPs in a free-to-play game. It's sort of just a personal credo. My grandfather told me that advice on his deathbed, to never pay for IAPs, I've taken that to heart. But on the other hand, I will gladly throw money at Square Enix or Intelligent Designs or for DLC, for Fire Emblem or Theta Rhythm or something like that. So when it comes to DLC for a premium game, strangely, I have an easier time of justifying that than I do for in-app purchases for a free-to-play game. I don't admit to making any sense, and I'm sure that opinion probably doesn't make sense, but I'm sure I'm not the only one out there who's listening to this who feels and behaves that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an interesting. I think it's an interesting point of view, and like we often whenever there's always a good story about Square Enix overcharging for games and so forth, and we usually weigh on in it, and so I definitely wanted to get your opinion on that. Okay, well that's very interesting. I think we've sort of come to the end of the road on this one.
sort of stumbled across the finishing line.
This is not an endless podcast.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, it's an auto. Yeah, that's true. This has been Matt. I've ribbed you a little bit. We've had a little bit of fun, but it really has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. We really really should get you on again because it's been wonderful.
Thank you very much.
I don't get this kind of treatment. I never get told I've been wonderful.
Keith, thank you so much for having played a video game this week. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Matt, Keith, you've made this show. You've made this show one of my favourites. I think that we've provided you, listeners, 60 minutes of top-class entertainment, and therefore, in exchange, it would be absolutely beautiful of you if you could go to the iTunes store and go and give us a review and rating. Like I said on the last show, if you don't like this one, the previous ones from James were pretty good, weren't they? So give us a 5-star rating. Review and rating, do it. And I don't know, do you know what? If you give us a review and rating and then get in touch with us via podcast at podgamer.co.uk, which is our email address, then and tell us that you've done it, we'll go and have a look. We're going to see what you've written. Make it nice. Or don't, whatever. We'll give you a shout out on the next show. There you go. That's my absolute promise for you. I know.
That's bribery.
I know it is. If you give us... There we go. If you give us a... It's Matt. He's a bad influence. If you give us a review and rating, we're not telling you what score it is. 5 stars out of 5. We're not telling you have to give us 5, but give us 5. Then, and then give us an email, podcast@podgamer.co.uk. Then we'll read out some of the best ones on the show as way of reward.
Can we read out the bad ones?
We'll also read out the bad ones.
I find that more entertaining.
I suppose all the people who think this is bad have kind of turned off by now. And most of the regular listeners will have just been like...
Do you not know the internet at all? People watch and buy and listen to things just so they can slag them off.
No, that's not true. People are nice on the internet. Some people who are nice on the internet include the Pocket Gamer community, and you can find them on pocketgamer.co.uk. All sorts of goodness going on in there. All sorts. Oh, I'm telling you. Competitions. What else? Community gaming things. Team talks. What's that?
Orgies.
No, none of that.
That's just me arranging those.
I don't know if I have to bleep that out. I don't think I do. I had to bleep out another word that I wasn't sure about last week, but I did bleep that one out. All sorts going on there. And also, if you want to find out more about the way that this business works, then you want to go to pocketgamer.biz, because do you know what, mate? They got the skinny. They got that. They got you covered. Head on over there and find out about all the ins and outs. Look at all the numbers. See what they do. Like us on Facebook. Search for us, Pocketgamer. And PGBiz, and twitter.com/pocketgamer and /PGBiz. Go and do all that good stuff because we love you. I'm going to be out next week. I know. So that's kind of why I'm promising a load of stuff. Matt, again, thank you so much for being on the show. Keith, thank you so much for being a wonderful human being. And, and we will speak to you all next week. Except I won't.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.